The epistle appointed to be read for Low Sunday is taken from the epistle of St. John. Dearly beloved, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory which overcometh the world, our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit which testifieth that giveth that Christ is the truth. And there are three who give testimony in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And there are three that give testimony on earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood. And these three are one. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God, which is greater, because he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth in the Son of God hath the testimony of God in himself. And the Holy Gospel. The Gospel taken from St. John, chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. At that time, when it was late the same day, the first day of the week, and the doors were shut where the disciples were gathered together for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst of them and said, "Peace be to you." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples therefore were glad when they saw the Lord. He said therefore to them again, "Peace be to you. And as the Father hath sent me, I also send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven them. And whose sins you shall retain, they are retained." Now Thomas, one of the 12, who was called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my fingers into the place of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Jesus cometh, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, "Peace be to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put in thy finger hither, and see my hands, and bring hither thy hand, and put it into my side. And be not incredulous, but believing." Thomas answering and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus saith to him, "Because thou hast seen me, Thomas, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and have believed." Many other signs also did Jesus in the sight of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Those are the words of today's Holy Gospel. He said, therefore, to them again, "Peace be to you." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. These words were, my dear faithful, the very consoling salutation which our Lord addressed to his apostles on his first appearance to them after his resurrection. And the same salutation is the one that he addresses to each and every one of us, who, I have trust, have made our peace with God by a good confession, and sealed that appeasement by a worthy reception of Holy Communion. For by doing so, we have not only been eyewitnesses of our Lord's resurrection, but we have been partakers of that resurrection. By the graces which we receive in these two sacraments, we have risen with him from the grave of our old nature, with all of its faults and shortcomings which lies buried. We have arrived to a new life, a new fervor of grace, of piety, and an exact observance of the duties of being a true Catholic. Peace is the rightful outcome of such a resurrection. St. James says, "The fruit of justice is sown in peace." And moreover, this peace which our Lord bestows on us is a peace which surpasses all understanding, and it keeps our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, as St. Paul says to the Philippians. In these words, St. Paul, we find a clue as to why our Lord bestowed peace twice on the occasion that he came to see the apostles, as related in today's gospel. In order that peace be perfect, in order that it be complete, peace has to be a twofold peace. There has to be the peace of the mind, and there has to be peace of heart. It is for this reason that our Lord said to his apostles two times, "Peace be to you." Each of these two faculties of our nature, of our being, must be at peace Otherwise, the whole man is a state of unrest. And the peace of each is necessary for the peace of the other. The peace of the heart of man cannot find repose when the mind is not at peace. And the mind cannot find rest as long as the heart is disquieted. There are other certain conditions of this peace of the mind and heart. The peace of the mind of the understanding is obtained only through faith. That is the Catholic faith. St. John says, "This is the victory which overcometh the world, our faith." The appropriate fruit of victory, the victory over the world, is peace. And therefore our Lord said that they are blessed that have obtained this peace through the victory of their faith. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. We who, raising our understanding above the natural laws of evidence, humbly submit to the authority of divine revelation and are enlightened divine by divine grace alone. And we cry out with St. Thomas, as we read in the Gospel today, every time we see the host in elevation, "My Lord and my God." We do not see "my Lord and my God," but we believe because we see with the eyes of our faith. The intellectual peace is obtained only through the true faith. And this has been proven by the experience of history. Without the light of faith to guide it, the human intellect, as it were, is tossed about helplessly and aimlessly on the waves of a boundless ocean. It's at the mercy of every blast and every current. It's driven this way and now in that direction and another direction, without a compass, without a helm, without a guiding hand to direct its course, until it finally succumbs to the fury of the elements and sinks into the depths of the abyss. But history has presented this picture to us by the various variations of religious opinions in those unhappy countries that have apostatized from the faith that we see today even. The natural outcome of such an intellectual unrest is the founding of numerous heretical and schismatic sects. St. Augustine himself, in his book of Confessions, has given us a graphic picture of his very own state of life while he was yet a stranger to the faith. He went from this unbelief to another unbelief, to this error to that error, always doubting and never finding a true conviction. And finally, he ended up and adopted the theory of the Academians. The Academians say there's nothing that is certain and everything is doubtful. And so it is with the heretics who make human reason the dictates of faith rather than the truth, an error which is absolutely fatal to peace and fruitfulness only ends in discord. How true this idea is even today, when the modernists would have us believe that there's no such thing as objective truth, that all truth is simply in the mind. Well, the reason of man is looking. It is seeking for something. And St. Thomas says, St. Thomas Aquinas says, if it is seeking, it means that it has not yet found it. And if it has not found it, it is not at peace. The intellect that rests upon the solid ground of the true Catholic faith is at peace. It's immovable. Nothing, not even the most convincing natural evidence, can shake it from the firm rock upon which it is built. The rains may fall and the winds may blow, but it does not yield. It stands immovable forever. Our reason, though it does have a legitimate part to play, it leads us to recognizing the great fact that God has spoken, that God has revealed to us his truth. But after the reason affirms this fact, then the function of the reason ceases and faith steps in. It makes the mind assent with humble docility and submission to that which has been revealed by God as the truth and infallibly taught by the Catholic Church. Truly blessed are they who have not seen and have believed. Blessed in the unalterable peace which reigns in all the faculties because we have the Catholic faith. We are likely to think that if we had seen our Lord work all of his miracles, as did the apostles, our faith would be more perfect than it is today. Our blessed Lord teaches us by the example of St. Thomas today that it's not so. On the contrary, we know that the faith of the apostles was weak. It was a wavering faith, even after our Lord ascended into heaven. It was not until the day of Pentecost, which bestowed on them the gift of an immovable faith. And that same wondrous grace given to the apostles then is given to us. We receive that same immovable faith and that grace when we receive our baptism, by which we're able to believe without having seen. And the gift of faith which establishes us in peace is this life. It will be rewarded in the next by the beatific vision, face to face with Him in whom we now believe. And the other part of the twofold peace, which our Lord, our Jesus Christ, bestowed on men, is a peace of heart. The peace which keeps our hearts living in the Sacred Heart by submission to His laws. It says in the book of Job, "Who has resisted Him?" Speaking of Almighty God. "Who has resisted Him and hath found peace?" Just as with the physical law of gravitation, all things seek their center and do not rest until they find it. And so by a necessary law of our own being, our hearts are seeking its center. And our hearts will not rest until our hearts find the center upon which it can rest. And the center of our hearts must be the union with the Sacred Heart Himself. A union with God in this life. A moral union of wills. That is, the entire submission of our will to His will and His law. The sinner rebels against this submission, which is due from him. And right away, the sinner is placed in a contradiction with himself and every other created thing. For by the impious rebellion of a sinner, rebellion to submission to God, a sinner is in direct contradiction to his very first and last end, which is God. A sinner is in direct contradiction to the very reason why he exists in this world. We exist in this world to give honor and glory to God. This reason is written by St. Paul to the Romans. There will be tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that worketh evil. The sinner works his own punishment. "Thou hast adorned it, O Lord," it says, "so that in that every inordinate mind is its own punishment." The Creator of all of us has to leave a soul all to itself, to the remorse of conscience which preys upon it, to the worm that dies not, in order to execute a vengeance upon the soul. In the book of Wisdom we read, "By what things a man sins, so also is he tormented." The life then of a sinner is a life of perpetual warfare, a war with God, a war with himself, a war with everything around him. His vices make him miserable as well as culpable. The sinner is always desiring for that which he does not have, and therefore he is never content with what he does. And in the end, the sinner's condition is summed up in the words of the psalm: "Destruction and unhappiness are in their way, and the way of peace they have not known." My dear faithful, if we truly wish to attain peace and pursue after it, we must seek it where it is to be found. And it is found in complete submission to the laws of the Sacred Heart. "Peace have they that love thy law, and to them it is no stumbling block," it says in Psalms. In submitting ourselves entirely to the will of God, to the Ten Commandments, we necessarily enjoy the peace of God Himself. And whatever happens, whatever we suffer, our will being united to the divine will, our affections, our desires being the affections, the desires of God Himself and the Sacred Heart, then we will always enjoy a perfect and a profound peace. We will be at peace not only with our Creator, but we will be at peace with our neighbors. For a soul which is at peace is free from the selfish and angry passions, which are the source of discord and animosity. And we will be at peace with ourselves, because subjection to the law of God keeps our passions under restraint. By being obedient to God, our lower nature learns to obey the higher nature. When God reigns over us, we are enabled to reign over ourselves with undisputed control. Thus, all things are at peace that we possess. Our dear faithful, we should then seek the peace not in the world. The world does not know peace. But we should seek the peace where we can find it. The only place and the lasting peace that we can find, it is in the heart of our Lord. We should seek this peace wherever God has placed us, in whatever vocation, whatever station in life. And we should seek it by a perfect submission to His rule of faith and His holy law. If we are true to these two, submission of our reason to the dictates of the Catholic faith, submission of our will to God's commandments, then we will not fail to find peace of mind and peace of heart, not only in this life, but our conformity to the Sacred Heart, we will find rest, true divine rest, that divine peace that God is waiting to give to us. We will find peace forever in the blessed paradise. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.